Welcome to Quick Takes with Kevin, a weekly podcast about leadership, life, and ministry with Kevin Ezell, president of the North American Mission Board. Each week, Kevin will be focusing on how pastors can keep their souls healthy in the midst of the demands and challenges of everyday life. Now, here's your host, Kevin Ezell.
Hey, pastors, Kevin Ezell from the North American Mission Board, coming straight from my mother's bedroom today, and I'm with one of my very best friends, James Merritt, pastor at Cross Point in Georgia, and also former Southern Baptist Convention president. James, thank you so much, brother.
Well, Kevin, it blesses me, and we were talking about this earlier, and I really mean it, be thankful you can be in your mother's home. I sure wish I could be in my mother's home today. So, and when this is over, you give a big hug, a big kiss. Well, if you can, I know you got to watch the social distancing, but whatever you can do, give it to your mom. Tell her I love her.
I'll do that. She'll just be thrilled I know you. So, hey, listen, James, today we want to cover something, chapter 39 of Lance Witt's book about, are your systems vitamins or toxins? And I, obviously what he means is, do they help or do they hurt? And you've had the opportunity to pastor several different sizes churches, which call for different type of systems, if you will. Every church has to have some operating system. And, you know, one of the things that meant the most to me years ago when I was pastoring, watching you make some adjustments and calling in all in the middle of a system, whether it be personnel or system. And would you just share, you know, how healthy systems help churches, or do even most churches have a healthy system, or is that part of the problem?
Yeah, that, you know, Kevin, let me, if there's always a question, you know, God bless him, Robbie Zacharias always said, behind the question is a question, behind the question is another question. There's actually a question behind your question, and so this is not my area of expertise, but I will tell you what I have learned. The question is not so much, hey, you know, do you have a good system? Is it vitamin or is it toxic? The first question you have to ask is, what is your mission? Because here's where I think a lot of churches make a mistake. Instead of building your systems around your mission, they fall into the trap of building a mission around a system, or around their systems. So, and I won't get too deep in the weeds, but too often churches, instead of asking about certain systems, is this system fulfilling our mission? They refuse to ask that hard question, and it's more of, well, is this system hurting anybody? I mean, is this system really, you know, is it causing me any headaches? If not, I'll just leave it there. Well, any system that is not ultimately syncing up with all of your other systems, and in and of itself, any system that's not accomplishing the mission is a bad system. You may have great people running the system. And the system may run the train on time, and you know, the system may run real smooth. But if you know, our mission is to point people to Jesus and inspire them to live the cross-shaped life. That's our mission. And what we do periodically is we look at not just the systems that we have, but the ministers within those systems, and ask ourselves hard questions. Is this really moving the ball down the field? Is this system really helping us become more adept and better at pointing people to Jesus and inspiring them to live the cross-shaped life? And I think that's why too often sometimes you can get so caught up in the, I'll call it the administrative system forest, you lose sight of the tree of what is the mission. Right. The first thing that any great general, if you study military history and you study the great military generals, the first thing you'll always, I'm a big American history guy, the first thing that every general wants to know, that when you're going to give him a task, what is my mission? The reason why, and if your readers know anything about Patton, whatever you want to say about George Patton, he had his fault. But whatever you said about George Patton, the reason why Eisenhower was such a George Patton fan, even when a lot of people weren't, is because of two reasons. Number one, Patton asked one question: what's my mission? What are you wanting me to accomplish? And then it didn't matter who he hurt. It didn't matter who he made mad. It didn't matter who said, I'm going to get, and Eisenhower knew Patton's going to get that mission done. So I think too often that we skip the most important part, and we start thinking about building the system and how it looks, but you're asking the wrong question. Why do I need the system to begin with, and what do I want the system to accomplish? And if you're not careful, you'll build a fine administrative structure, but it's not moving the ball down the field, at least what you say the ball's, where the ball's supposed to be going. If I hope that makes sense.
No, absolutely. I love the way you said, though. You have to build a system to serve the mission, not the mission to serve the system. I often use an analogy about a pizza oven. It's like, you know, sometimes you get people spend years building a pizza oven, but they take some 2 years and they never taste actually what comes out the oven. You know, they're so focused on building the structure, it's not even creating, they don't even know if it's tasting good or not, if it's actually ending up, the result is what they're after.
And Kevin, this is not to flatter you. I don't flatter people. I praise people. You're living what we're talking about. You went to NAMM. It's not throwing down on anybody that was there before you, but you went to NAMM. You formulated, okay, this is our mission. This is what we're about. You know, and you really narrowed it down. We're about evangelism, church planning, disaster relief. We're not about anything else. That's what we're about. And then you began to realize, you saw, I've got systems and they're good systems, they're good people, but they're not the systems I've got to put in place to accomplish the mission that the Lord has given me. Now, but let me tell you this to all your pastors out there. The reason why you said, well, James, why do you believe more pastors don't take that bold step? Because it costs to do that. The default, the easy road is just leave the system in place. It's not bothering anybody. That's not the issue. If you're serious about the mission, you've got to make the system subservient to the mission, not the other way around. And a lot of guys, Kevin, and this is a leadership principle, the reason why a lot of pastors, and I love pastors, but the reason why a lot of pastors are not really great, strong leaders, Kevin, you'd learn this. You know it better than anybody, a lot better than me. You can be a strong, effective leader, or you can have everybody like you. You can't do both. Too many pastors want everybody to like them. I'm sorry, pastor, that's not your major concern. That's not your role. Not everybody like Jesus.
Right.
If you really get serious about the mission, blood will be spilled, hard decisions will be made, you will have to incur some criticism, but at the end of the day, it's all about the mission.
Oh, my word, that is so appropriate, and if the state churches would be in, it would be so much better if they would just learn to stay focused on who they are to please. Because at the end of the day, like you said, it's amazing. I mean, you leave your church, even when they love you, you know, they're going to clean your stuff out of the office, repaint it, move somebody else in. And you know, the whole time they're there, they're so afraid to make anybody mad, and they're not making any progress. Hey, James, one other thing that you're very good at, that you know what to delegate, what not to delegate. And you know, because you've led such things, it's at an incredible level. You have to depend on other people and to delegate. And that's one of the things, it seems like pastors, I think because of some insecurities, they feel like they've got to do everything, sort of thing, depends on them. But you and I both know you can never lead in any high capacity and do everything. Some things you have to do, only you can do. But what has been your principle, or how would you suggest a pastor that they work to delegate to other team members or lay it?
It's a great question, Kevin. Number one, you kind of started the answer. I delegate everything that somebody else can do, particularly if I know they can do it better than I can. You know, Andy Stanley talks about the 80-20 rule, and others have too, and I really believe in that. The most effective thing I do for my organization is preach the word, set the culture, give the vision, and lead in evangelism. Those are the four things I do. I'm not a detail person, Kevin. I don't like to be in a bunch of 2 hour and 3 hour meetings. That's not my gift. I don't like administration. So I have found people, thank the Lord, through the years. I've got a tremendous CFO in Bruce Hardy, Mike Daniels, great exec. I find people that can do the job better than I can, and let them do it. Let me just tell you just another little story. I tell young pastors this. Go back and do your history, guys, if you don't know this. There's a Jimmy Carter leader, and I love President Carter's of Christian, but there's a Jimmy Carter leader and there's a Ronald Reagan leader. Jimmy Carter was a micromanager. He even managed, Kevin, you're a former tennis player. He managed the tennis courts at the White House. If you wanted to go play tennis, he would make the appointment. Yeah, he kept a pad in his desk. He set the times when you could play tennis at the White House. This is a true story, at the White House. Carter. Reagan comes in, he says, you know what? We're going to do three things. I'm only going to do three things. I'm going to cut taxes. I want to shrink government. I'm going to build a strong national defense. That's my mission. Then he hired people around him and he said, this is what I want you to do. Go do your job. We all know history tells us who by far was the most effective chief executive. And right. if you find any great leader, I've never met in my life a truly great leader that was a micromanager. Right. You can be one or the other. You can't do both. And, right. and so, you know, that's what I would say, Kevin, is the key that I have found is, and by the way, you know this, but do not give a person a responsibility if you're not going to give him the authority to carry it out.
Right.
Pastors make that mistake all the time. And then you either burn someone out or they get so discouraged. They say, I can't do my job. I'm going to leave.
Right. Right. You're exactly right. And when you really do learn to delegate and lateral, you can have around yourself higher capacity people. High capacity people don't want to be around and just be robots. They want you to lateral the ball and let them run with it. So, well, James, thank you so much, man, brother. I appreciate the integrity that you have, the vision you've had, and the example that you are. And you're just a lot of fun. There's not anytime I'm with you, man, I always leave with a smile. Appreciate all that you do and who you are.
Well, I tell you, Kevin, you remind me of Teresa. You're talking about Teresa, and I got this from Dr. Rogers, but I tell Teresa about once a week, if you ever leave me, I'm going with you. And I feel the same way about you, man. If you ever leave, I'm going with Kevin. But, Kevin, let me just leave your pastors with this. I'd like to ask every pastor this one question and just look yourself in the mirror and just tell the truth. Can you honestly say the way you're leading your church is the Great Commission your mission? Think about that.
Man, well said, James. Love you, brother.
Love you, Kevin. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us for Quick Takes with Kevin. Each week, Kevin will visit with pastors and leaders as they talk about the challenges they face and the lessons they've learned in balancing faith, family, and ministry. Thank you for being with us.